It may not have escaped your notice this morning that this is the day designated in our cultural observances as Mother's Day. We all have some experience of mothering or of being mothered. There is no one of us here this morning who has not at some level, in some capacity, had some kind of experience of mothering. Could be good, could be difficult, could be full of light, could be full of struggle. It just spans the entire gamut. So I thought, we talked about this at staff meeting 2 weeks ago, that it would be a good idea, it might be a good idea, who knows, we'll see, it might be a good idea, at least an interesting idea, to encourage you all this morning to think a little bit about mothering, about your experience of mothering, or of being mothered, or of mothering some person, or a pet, whatever, in whatever capacity, and to give people an opportunity to share briefly about their experience of mothering, and just to make absolutely certain that somebody says something. I have one plant. So Yvette's going to start us off by saying who knows what.
Thank you, Christopher.
So you can just, when you come around, I'll bring the mic around, you can stand where you are, just as Yvette's done, and hold it up, point it to your mouth.
Well,
there you go, and go.
When Christopher contacted me and asked me if I'd do this, I said, oh, sure. And then I started to think. And mothering became muttering. And I couldn't believe how hard it was to collect my thoughts. Hence, I have a few pieces of paper. So please bear with me. The first thing that I determined was that motherhood is a gift. It's a gift of biology, and it's a gift of choice. I have 3 sons. My oldest will be 50 next week, and 4 grandsons. And with those men and boys, I have experienced noises and smells and food consumption beyond anything I ever dreamed possible. And along with that, I've had laughter and exhilaration, despair, alienation, sleepless nights, regardless of how old they are and at what stage of mothering I'm in. And yet for me, the sweetness of an adult son's kiss or the snuggle of a little hot, sweaty little boy just continues to melt my heart. Grandsons, I think, are the place of trust and rest. I'm much more willing to let life just be with my grandsons. I can just be, and they can just be. I can trust them, and they can trust me in a way that I never trusted myself as a mom. Being a grandmother has been a gift. But there's another kind of motherhood. It's the motherhood of choice. I have been blessed with 4 women in my life who are not my biological children. 4 women who have allowed me to enter their lives deeply in ways that are very, very much just like my sons. 2 of these women have been in my life as I, their other mother, for 50 years, the latest for 12. And with them, we have explored openness and vulnerability, heartbreak and joy, in such a way as the rest of the world is not given permission to enter. That's my other mothering. But in all of this, what I did figure out for me was that motherhood is not a role. It's not something I do. It's something that I am. It's a being, not a doing. It comes from a place very deep within me. And it's fluid. It changes as my children got older. It changed as my children's needs changed. Motherhood changed as I changed. And motherhood changed me. It has stirred up the best in me, and it has revealed the worst in me. It has challenged me to the absolute utmost of my capacity. It's been that place where in many, many sleepless nights, I've called out to God and said, oh, what am I to do? And one of my great loves is Julian of Norwich. And she talks about Jesus the Mother. If you ever get a chance to do some reading, I recommend Jesus the Mother. And for me, as I've thought about all of this, that is the source of my motherhood. It comes from Jesus the Mother. It's where my call is answered. It's where my willingness to extend myself comes from. And it is what always reminds me that motherhood is a gift, either by biology or by choice.
Thank you. All right, anybody else? You don't have to you don't have to have brought notes with you. You're all scared away now? It's absolutely not gender specific.
I don't think
it. Yeah, you take it.
I hadn't planned on saying anything, but I thought, well, since I'm here, I'm going to see if I can give Yvette a run for her money. this morning, I just gave Jen a hug and just said to her, you're an awesome mom, you're present to our children, you struggle with them, you do all the things that we understand, I guess, to be mothering. And it's easy to take that for granted. It's easy just to, I had a mother that I knew cared for me to her very core, and she had her issues like we all do, and through that I knew her love was abiding, and that's what hopefully we all aspire to is whether we're a mother or father, we try to aspire to be our best self, and we fall flat on our faces all the time, and we get back up, and hopefully we find the strength to just say I'm sorry, and on we go. So I just wanted to acknowledge Jen, the mother of my children, and all the mothers in whatever capacity that is for you, whether it's biological or relational. I think it's an amazing like Yvette said, it's not a role, it's a being. And I think mothers are, women, I would say, are uniquely capable of nurturing in ways that men hopefully aspire to, but maybe can't fathom in some mysterious way. But I think women, by and large, are very inspirational. So thank you to all you women in here and out there who do your best to nurture the human race, because goodness knows we can use it.
My mother died on May 15 last year at 97 years, and this is the first day of Mother's Day without my mother on this earth. But she lives on in my heart. I think there's a lesson in our faith about that. Her children all call her Saint, so if ever you hear of Saint Betty, I'm sure it's my mom.
Saint Betty. I don't think I've heard of her. be shy. This wasn't a plant. Stand up.
This is following on the theme of being, not doing, and what comes to mind is my mother, who many of you knew, who came to church fairly regularly and had a, at that time, massive stroke, and was always in a wheelchair. She lived with a stroke for 7 years and couldn't, she could move herself with one leg. She could feed herself, but she couldn't talk and she could do very little. She was confined to the wheelchair. But before her stroke, she was a doer. She did a lot. She was lived many, many years on her own and was very independent and competent. And she showed all her love in doing. But post-stroke, she couldn't do anything. Really, physically, she could do nothing. And she had grandchildren at our house who were, I think, 10 and 12, or 12, 14, somewhere around there. So she was still very involved in our life. And I know for the first 2 years, it was very frustrating for her not to be able to do, and was a very, very hard time. But after a couple of years, she lived with a stroke 7 years, there's something else that started to appear. And I think we, as certainly as my family, and I know other members of the parish and her friends began to see it, and there was this light that came through her. I mean, just in her eyes and in her action and in her, I think, unconditional love for everybody. I mean, she could reach out a hand. So at church, she would reach out a hand to people as they went by up to the communion. And she that's how she was for the last 7 years. She still had frustrations, but she was able to surrender all her need for control and power and all those things that we wrestle with. She was able to adapt to that life of not being able to do. And it was a gift to us, especially as a family, to see this light that came through her. And I think that taught me more than probably anything she taught me her whole life, that this idea of love, this idea that God is love, is this light that shines through. And it's all we need to do is actually let go into that love, that it is not our willfulness that allows that to happen. It's actually our surrender that allows that to happen.
Alex has a mother. She's just a young chicken.
You're stealing my thunder.
Yeah, I know.
It's a brief news story, excuse me, and a comment. This week, some of you who may watch the news saw the story of a 103-year-old woman in Ireland who had given up her child. Obviously, the Catholic strictures of an unmarried young woman had to give up her baby for adoption, and the baby grew up to be a woman and is in North America somewhere, but never gave up wanting to find her mother. So this woman is almost 80. I think she's just shy of 80. Well, she found her mother. And her mother is 103 and still alive in Ireland. So the story was this woman going to Ireland and meeting her mother. And so I just thought it was such a beautiful story, and the tenacity of love, you know, I'm never going to give up looking for my mother. Anyway, my mother is 103. And as Heather has pointed out, when you become 103, you're really, or have a stroke, you're helpless. You can't do anything. So the grace of just being given to. And tonight I get to go and, have dinner with my 103-year-old mother on Mother's Day.
That's pretty amazing. And she may not be able to do much, but she can sure remember, and she can sure talk, and she can sure tell stories, and she knows who you are, and she's a formidable force.
And drink wine.
Yeah, you want to know how to live long? Drink wine and suntan. Right? That's the secret. Go figure. Oh, there she is. Sorry, I couldn't see
that. Maybe. I'm all teary, so maybe I can't. these stories are making me think about my own mother, and my mother suffered quite a distressing mental illness my whole life, and despite that, the miraculous thing about my mother is that she was a fantastic mother, always. She was so nurturing and kind and wonderful, and I feel like I had a fantastic childhood, the most amazing experience growing up, and so that gives me a lot of hope when I think of my own failures as a mother, or anything to not be constrained by what you your disabilities that you have, or to not have control over your own life. You can, mothering is different. It's something very spiritual and miraculous that can be given even in our weakness. So.
Feeling a little emotional today because on Thursday my 19-year-old nephew was diagnosed with lung cancer. So today I just need all of your prayers for my sister-in-law and my brother, because they're very, very sad. Sorry. And I just need some extra prayers for Ben, letting him in Vancouver. And Allison, my sister-in-law, who's just a wonderful, strong mom, and my wonderful mom, who's worried over in Vancouver as well. And I'm very happy to be loved by my mom and have three wonderful children.
Ben.
Lettingham.
Lettingham. Ben Lettingham. How old is he? 19. 19-year-old. Yeah. Wow. Well, if you are one of those strange people who from time to time visits my blog, you'll know that this morning I suggested we actually ditch the whole idea of Mother's Day and Father's Day. I was only a tiny bit serious, but it made a good eye-catching headline, Let's Ditch Mother's Day. But the point of my blog this morning is that mothering, and everybody has said it already, mothering is something, it's a way of being that we can all be for one another. And in the gospel reading this morning, Jesus is talking to religious people. John calls them the Jews, but he means the religious establishment of the day. Jesus is talking to the religious establishment of the day in their temple. And he's talking to them about the issue of security. And he's saying that security lies in hearing the voice of truth in our hearts. That's the place where we find, where we can experience within ourselves the ability to find true stability, strength, and security. Jesus says, "My Father who has given to them is greater than them all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." The purpose of parenting, the purpose of human community, is that we might be for one another a place where we are encouraged to hear within our hearts the voice of truth. the voice of the shepherd, because that's the place where we find true security in life. It is not in buildings. It is not in perfect parenting. It is not in parents who promise to live to be 103 years old. It is not in always having perfect, good health, even when we are a young person. It is in finding in the depths of our being that resonance of truth that Jesus calls the voice of the shepherd. And the fact is, we only learn to hear that voice when we are surrounded by people who are listening to that voice. It takes a village to help us hear truth, just as a village will often help us hear falsehood and lies and deception. This, we are intended to be a village in which truth is heard. We are intended to be a village in which we learn that we are not what we do, but we are who we are as beings created in the image and the beauty and the love of God known to us in Jesus Christ. So, I don't think I really want to ditch Mother's Day or Father's Day, but I do want us to avoid the risk of putting responsibility for nurture, for love, for truth out onto someone else and say, oh, that's her. She's got that covered. I don't need to worry about it anymore. It's all of our responsibility to be mothers. I love the idea of Jesus the mother. We are all, every one of us, without exception, called to be mother and father, child, grandchild, grandparent, to every one of us, all around us, that we might find that steady, secure, strong place that radiates with it. Really is what Gertrude, Heather's mom, found in those last 7 years of her stroke, where all doing was taken from her. There was nothing she could do to impress the world, and believe you me, she had been an impressive lady. She had been a force to be reckoned with, and when all of that was stripped away, what was left? Beauty and truth and love and light and goodness that we all have within us and that we all are called to support in one another by listening to that voice of truth. Amen.